Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hey, parents, you are listening to another episode of the Wonder of Parenting podcast, a brain science approach to parenting. My name is Tim Wright, along with Dr. Michael Gurian. Michael, as always, coming to us from Spokane, Washington. And Michael, how are things up there in Spokane? We're recording this, by the way, in October. So you cooling off a bit?
Oh, yeah. The high today was 53 and the night surf like 47 or something. A lot of fall colors. You got very, we're all the way till the end of October, early November, got good fall colors. Then everything disappears in the first week of November. But right now we still got fall colors.
Well, we're setting record temps here for heat still.
You're still hot?
Still setting.
What's your temperature?
Today it was probably about 104.
Yeah. In October.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're just sort of next week, it's supposed to be a high of 75. So we're just holding our breath that we can maybe get to some halfway decent weather, but it's been hot. Nights are nicer. The evenings are nice, but wow, these daytime temps, we're kind of done with it. Right. But
yeah, you've had it for what, 2 years like this?
Oh my goodness. It's just been, we've had some really, really long, hot summers and, but anyway, it looks like we're so close to being done. So I have, as our new thing now, Gurian Gold. Oh. And so we're going to start with a little nugget of wisdom from Michael Gurian. And I pulled off the shelf one of his books called What Could He Be Thinking? How a Man's Mind Really Works. And interesting story. Several years ago, I did a book study with our women at the church, and we used this. And of course, they jokingly call it, could he be thinking or is he thinking? It was just really fun to walk through this book with a group of women. I was the only guy in the room. So here's just one quote. Which always, when you're doing your sessions, always gets a huge laugh. Women's brains don't rest, zone out, take a breath, break from stress, the way men's brains do. While doing brain scans at the University of Pennsylvania, Reuben Gurr discovered that women's brains are constantly working, whereas the male brain zones out, for instance, in front of the television. Men take mental naps more than women do. They stare at the TV screen in front of them, but they often are not actually engaged. All right. So talk just a little bit about that little nugget of Gurian Gold there. And, for all of our female listeners, what's happening when their husbands, their spouses, their sons just sort of zone out and they're wondering, how come I can't do that?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, when I speak, of course, I show the brain scans. Yep. And I show these scans of the male and the female brain at rest. And rest means boredom or zone out. And the female brain in boredom or zone out, the female brain is incredibly active. The top of the brain, the midbrain, everything's active. And the male brain, when it's in the zone out or boredom state, most of the brain is blank, And it does get a laugh. I mean, it's funny, you know, it really is funny. And this is all over the world brain, because this comes in on the genome. So this is XXXY, right? This comes in on our XY differences that happen in utero. And we think it's a leftover or an evolutionary continuation back from the sort of 500,000 years of hunting gathering and where, and females were taking care of elders, children, you know, they were in smaller, you know, in the village or in a small area doing that. And the males were out hunting, and that's up till about 10,000 years ago. So that's about 400,000 or 500,000 years of development. And since they're out hunting, hunting requires the brain to go to a complete silence, right? Complete rest state. You can't be talking, you can't be doing anything except just sitting there with your brain at rest, waiting for prey. And we go to the supermarket now, but we got to remember that for 400,000 or 500,000 years, if guys didn't get that prey, humans, you know, human being doesn't continue, right? There's no food. So, so that got in there on the Y chromosome, and it gets into the brains, and in utero, this gets set so that the female brain's constantly thinking about stuff, constantly working on stuff, constantly emoting, talking about feelings, thinking in feelings, and the male brain goes to this rest state numerous times per day. So that's the biology of it.
That's the biology of it. And of course, it's not a value judgment. One brain is not better or worse than the other. That's just the way these brains work. And the more we understand them, the better able we are to get along with each other, male and female, and of course, raising our boys and girls. So that is your Gurdon gold.
Well, and let me add to what you just said is really, really wise. It is not a judgment. And in fact, we do culturally, sort of in the talk show world, let's say, or social media world, sometimes, you know, people go after that male brain in the rest state. They'll make fun of it, or they'll say, well, you know, he's not really thinking, or et cetera, et cetera. And from a science-based point of view, though, in a way, the fact that the male brain does this is somewhat enviable, because we know two things about it. One is that a lot of invention actually occurs after the brain's been in a rest state.
Right.
So the brain goes into a rest state, and you really are not conscious of anything. Like if you're watching TV, the joke in the book, you're watching TV, but it doesn't really matter. You know, you're not really seeing what you're seeing or computing it. Somewhere deep in your brain, though, right, as your brain rests, stuff might be going on because invention occurs after. And then the other thing is, just in terms of stress levels, the allowing the brain to go to a rest state is, or the brain going to a rest state is actually good for stress. And having the brain constantly on can make life more stressful. So it's definitely not a value judgment. Both brains are great. And we ought not, you know, judge either one, because when we really go into it, like scientifically, we discover, oh, wait a minute, look at all these advantages of the female brain. Look at all these advantages of the male brain.
Right. The point isn't to judge. The point is to understand.
Yeah.
Right. The show is brought to you, as always, by the Center of Place of Hope. 37 years of leadership in mental and behavioral health up there in the Seattle, Washington area. And you can learn more about the vision or the Center of Place of Hope on wonderofparenting.com. And we also are sponsored by Man Cave. Men all need to be caring, actively engaged, vested, and encouraged. A program designed to engage fathers with intentional focus on family outcomes and child development. More information at wonderofparenting.com. So our question for today comes to us from Facebook. And for those of you who haven't joined the Facebook page yet, you can do that. Just go to Facebook, do a little search of Wonder of Parenting, and hit the join link, and I will get you in as soon as I see that. And a lot of good questions there, a lot of good discussion there. So this is a rather long question, but a really important one. It says, hello all, I am a mum of two. Now, sounds a little bit like it might be someone from England, right?
Yeah, or Australia. New Zealand,
Boy who is 9, girl who is 6. Advice needed. My little girl has been saying she feels sad. She also said that she feels like she can't breathe and she will die. So here's the context. We discussed the feeling sad and the feeling of not breathing. I'm glad she can express her feelings to me, but I'm unsure if the breathing is connected to anxiety. We took lots of breaths and we held hands. The result was that it was a feeling and not a fact, so we proved it together. Friends, she is often on her own, and when in summer clubs, I collect her and see her standing on her own. When we go to kids' birthday parties, she will play by herself, and I don't know if it's because she wants to play by herself or she's tried to play with others and they don't want to play back. So then she asked the question, what would you do? Now, I have a lot of ideas and unsure what would be helpful. Would you make an appointment at a doctor? Would you encourage friends by arranging play dates? Would you take a back seat and allow her to be who she is and develop naturally without any intervention, i.e. on the part of mom? When at home with family and also when in the company of friends, she knows already she's bubbly, silly, confident, and loud. She doesn't like to be on her own, but I can relate as I am the youngest in my family and I was used to my big sister being around to play with. Sorry this post is so long. It's been on my mind. I feel better for putting it out all down there. So, Michael, we're going to take our first break, and we're going to let that question sit there and come back. There's so much stuff here. The lonely six-year-old girl. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Wonder of Parenting podcast, a brain science approach to parenting.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft. Made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Okay, Michael, you've got the question. Let's get some initial thoughts.
Yeah, it's really an interesting question because she likes to be, she doesn't like to be on her own, and yet she's so bubbly and she seems to be developing normally.
Mm-hmm.
She is good with others. She's good with both adults and kids in the family. I mean, so that's all really, really good. I wish this is one of those where I wish this person was my client and I could ask them lots of questions. Like the dad isn't mentioned in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the dad is around or isn't around or what that family constellation is, because one of the first things I wondered is if there's been some trauma, has there been divorce trauma or is there some trauma that she's going through? And because there wasn't mention of the dad, I thought maybe it could be divorce trauma, but probably not. It would be worth seeing a doctor. I mean, I think there's no reason not to see a pediatrician. That's always a good idea. Mm-hmm. If there's someone is saying I can't breathe, because while it may not be quote unquote real in terms of what the mom's saying, it's feeling, mm-hmm. not fact. You never know. There could be an allergy. There could be something respiratory. Sure. You never know. And a doctor's appointment, they can take that, they can look at that. And then when they meet with the doctor, then they can also ask, well, what about anxiety? She is only six, but it is possible for a sensory integration disorder already to have started, or kind of a mild anxiety disorder to have started. It would be good to rule those out. Or rule those in if in fact that's what's going on. So I think a doctor's appointment, yes, absolutely. When someone says, I can't breathe, I think, mm-hmm. you go, okay, all right, we'll go see the doctor. And then in terms of encouraging friendships with play dates, I think that kind of socialization is always good. This girl seems to be quite introverted. Mm-hmm. And so it's probably going to be better sort of to do the one-on-ones. It sounds like it's hard for her to do a big group. And while maybe once a month a group or whatever the parents think would be good, I think one-on-one it would be neat to do more one-on-one play dates or continue the one-on-one play dates and just watch them and just kind of be a fly on the wall for the parents and see what happens and see if the girl, after the play date's over, is she incredibly tense? Does she report not being able to breathe, you know, and anxiety? So in that case, she might have some social anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. And she just gets overstimulated because she's so introverted. So I would watch that. So those are the first things that hit me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's heartbreaking, right? To watch your kids go through that and to pick your daughter up from a party and, you know, she's sort of just been standing there by herself the whole time. But as the mom says here, she's not sure if this is because that's what she wants and she likes playing by herself or if she really feels ostracized. What would be some things that you would look for? Just as you always talk about being a citizen scientist, what would you be looking for in this daughter, just as a mom in observation, to sort of help you navigate that question? Is she just like to be alone, or is she having a real difficult time hanging out with other kids, socializing with other kids? What signs do you look for?
Well, I think it is already both. I think we already have the signs. I do that. It's both that she's introverted. And so it's easier for her to be alone, and especially at six, and she's kind of a significant introvert, let's say. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a spectrum for everything, right? There's introverts, and then there's, you know, could be this girl who's even further out on the spectrum of introverted, let's say. So if the parents are looking at her and going, okay, yeah, I think that fits her. I think she's really, really introverted. Well, then, she is going to want to be alone a lot. And it's going to really, really stimulate her to be overstimulate her to be with a bunch of people. And so then there she is with a bunch of people. And unless they bullied her, right, that ostracized her, okay, that could have happened. But this seems like a pattern with her everywhere except with her family. And I have trouble believing everyone has bullied her, right? That every one of the other kids everywhere has bullied her. So while it could be, the parents definitely want to look into that. I'm sure they will. Is there a particular group where this behavior goes on? And has she been bullied in that group, like at school? Okay, you know, they're going to look for that. But let's say she hasn't been bullied. Then what they probably will see is that in pretty much all large groups except the family, she's going to feel overstimulated.
Yeah.
That would be my guess if she's as introverted as I think she might be. And also keywords, when you talk to the pediatrician, keywords, introvert is a good one, sensory integration, that whole spectrum, ask about that and ask about anxiety.
Yeah. She doesn't suggest that her daughter doesn't want to go to these events. Doesn't sound like she's having to force her. Now that could be, that's one of those areas where you probably have a lot of questions. Well, you know, is it hard to get her to these parties? Probably I'd be interesting to know how she's doing in school, right? Are her grades okay? This whole thing with being introverted, even at such a young age, is so fascinating because I can understand some of that personally. Let's dig a little bit into introversion. And if you've got an introverted daughter, you've given us a couple things, you know, maybe one-on-one playtime and so on. And will introversion be a part of her life, the rest of her life? And if so, what are some things that they can help her begin to do now to thrive as an introvert in a world that often wants us to be extroverted?
Extroverts, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely letting her be herself, as this mom is hinting, trying to figure out, maybe go to the doctor, figure out if something else is going on. If nothing else is going on, then okay, then, you know, we're going to let her be herself. And if she, they're going to talk to the doctor and everything, and they go, okay, she's, maybe they can do the personality, you know, surveys. And if they go, okay, she's an introvert, and here's where she would be on that scale. Oh, she's very introverted. Then yeah, we're going to let her be who she is. Absolutely. Parents should let her be who she is. And because she's going to develop, right? Our job as parents is to create a safe emotional container for our kids, as well as food, shelter, and clothing. And then, you know, let them develop who they are. We nurture their nature and we let them develop who they are inside that container that we as a family are providing them. So I think we should let her be who she is. And And if we, remembering that if we push her too much, well, we should put her into social situations. Absolutely. She's going to go to school, right? I mean, unless she has a severe disorder and needs to be homeschooled, she's probably going to go to school. Mm-hmm. Okay. So she's going to get a lot of socializing there. And then she's got some one-on-one with friends, and then she's got family. So, you know, she's going to get enough socialization at six to develop normally. And then meanwhile, since she wants to be alone a lot, we let her be alone a lot and doing things that are productive, reading, creating something, you know, if she, building something. I mean, you know, not sitting around alone with a screen in front of her. We don't want that. That'll just increase whatever is what we're dealing with here. Not that, but stuff that's productive and purposeful. And then she does that for an hour or two. She reads her books. And then, you know, we should start finding her coming to us and saying, well, can I help you with dinner or something like that, right? If we let her be, she will come to us. And when she needs the stimulation, the social stimulation. And that's within the framework, though, that she ought to be going to school unless she's got some kind of disorder.
Right. So we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to expand out a little bit now from this topic and talk about maybe some other things that other kids go through. You're listening to the Wonder of Parenting podcast, A Brain Science Approach to Parenting. We will be right back after this. So, Michael, I want to expand out now. And part of the reason why I resonated with this question is because it reminds me a bit of my 8-year-old granddaughter who started out life extremely engaged with people around her, made friends very easily. And then a few years ago, we noticed a change where she didn't seem to make a lot of friends. When she would get up in front in church, she wasn't dancing around anymore. She just kind of stood there and became very, very shy. And then just last week, after a battery of tests, they found out she's on the spectrum. And both high functioning, but also on spectrum, and has some other things going on as well. So I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that's what's happening here with this girl, right? But there are times when we see things in our kids where there seems to be some sort of a shift that takes place. Maybe they were outgoing at one time and now not so much. What are things that parents want to look for in behavior of their children, especially if their kids are moving more toward introversion and seem to be pulling away when they were maybe more outgoing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Well, when we see them pulling away, you know, the words I usually use with clients is, is this a person, is she becoming or he becoming a different person? Mm-hmm. Because they'll report, you know, like you just did, well, my daughter used to be this way and now she's a different person. And if it's that significant, then like, I'm so glad your granddaughter got tested, because if it's that significant, then got to get tested.
Right.
Cause something's going on. The only exception to that I would say is that, when hormones come in, which will be later, you know, then it's kind of normal. Oh, he or she's a different person, but then, you know, an hour later they go back to being who they were. Right. Or they flood for a month, but then they're basically still this other person. But if they become a very different person, then anyone listening to this, you know, just, and it's more than a month, right? Mm-hmm. Go get tested. Because what are you going to be looking for? You're going to be looking for trauma, that there's been some trauma that's made them this very different person. We're going to be looking for something going on with the brain, like the spectrum, something going on. And not everyone, you know, would be diagnosed with being on the spectrum at 2 or 3 or 4. There's the genes kick in gradually and are triggered gradually, and those mutations. So it's perfectly within the realm of normal for this to happen, like to your granddaughter. She's got those genes, and it happened, started a year ago? A couple years ago, yeah. So, and it wasn't that anyone did anything to her. It's just the way those genes are set up. So anyway, that's if they become a different person for more than like a few weeks, that to me is the key. And we want to look at getting help.
Right. So back to this particular situation now, we've recommended that perhaps going to see a doctor, a medical doctor, especially about the breathing. And I think part of what you're suggesting is the breathing could be from anxiety, or it could be a breathing issue causing anxiety, you know, some allergies or something.
Or it's just a phrase, or it's just, I can't breathe, but she really can.
Right. And yeah, but something's going on and she doesn't know how to
articulate. Might as well get checked. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've talked about play dates. What are some things, maybe some resources or things that mom might want to do herself as a mom? Is it helpful to her to meet with a counselor, to meet with other moms, or all the above? What would be some specific things that you would recommend for mom to do just for her own well-being in caring for her daughter?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love counseling, so I would always say if you can find a counselor these days, it's very hard. There's a shortage. But yes, absolutely, that would be awesome to get that kind of support. And I think it would be neat to reach out to maybe through the school or if there's a church or other network to reach out to other moms and other parents, you know, who have kids like this, and to trade insights and to, you know, give each other support. So I would, if I were her, you know, search out some. I think it's only going to take a week or two to really sort of do the search. You know, because she's going to have to go to various events and look around, and or it's word of mouth. Someone's going to say, you know what I mean, or mm-hmm. she's going to be able to see that her daughter has a friend or her son has a friend who's like that, right? And then kind of reach out to those parents. And then I also think it would be very supportive to look into the family system, talk to the elders in the family. You know, see was Uncle Jim like this? Was, you know, like, and what were the strategies that were used with him or with her? So talk to the other generation, because, you know, if there's something here that's genetic, that's coming, that's passing in through this daughter, someone else probably had these genes in those bloodlines. And so so that can be really supportive to talk to those people and say, okay, what did you do? And then they give their wisdom, and usually, right, this child turns out well. So it's be very supportive for the mom to get all the help of the doctor and everyone, but also get the help of others who are like looking back on it and going, well, we did this and look, you know, look at what a great adult she is or what a great adult he is.
Right.
And this is how we did it. So I think those would be the three kind of ways to go about it. Get the medical help, psychiatric help if needed, get the other kind of sisterhood, get the other moms, and then go into the family.
Yeah. As you were talking, I wrote a note down, ask Michael about other family members, and then you just did it anyway. So I want to just close a little bit, because we have talked about her feeling introverted. Maybe she's, you know, more comfortable being by herself. But it does start out with her saying, my daughter's been saying she feels sad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's maybe end with that a little bit. When you hear that from a six-year-old, what are some of the things that you hear, not knowing this child, of course, but what are some things you're hearing that mom might want to be aware of?
Well, yeah, that's why I started out by wondering if there had been trauma, mm-hmm. you know, because she says she feels sad and feels like she can't breathe. So,
right.
Yeah, that's why I definitely want her to go see a professional, because if she feels sad situationally, that's really normal. All of us feel sad situationally, mm-hmm. right? And feeling sad is a necessary and important and productive emotion. But when she says, I feel sad, I can't breathe, I want to die.
Yeah.
Then she has picked up that phrasing from somewhere else, mm-hmm. or someone else or TV or something. Okay, possibly. But it's still indicating all this other stuff we talked about, that there's something else going on for her. And if she hasn't picked it up somewhere else, let's say, it's still indicating there's something going on for her, because if she says it once, okay. But if the implication here was that this is happening,
yeah.
You know, more than once, and that it's specifically happening, you know, my analysis was some anxiety and she gets overstimulated, some sensory integration, something's overstimulating her. So I first wanted to look at trauma, and then I moved to this whole other thing, you know, mm-hmm. of a potential brain issue. And then we moved to introversion. Would it make sense that she's an introvert and she reports feeling sad and like she's going to die right after she gets really overstimulated by big crowds? Mm. Okay, that could make sense, right? A doctor has to help discover what's going on there, but that could make sense. Mm-hmm. And then you can say, oh, okay, that's happening only or usually when, you know, in this pattern. So then it would fit with the shyness or severe introversion, et cetera. And that's where we ended up going. But yeah, initially, I definitely would challenge every family who has a child saying this to see if this child's been traumatized. Mm-hmm. You know, that should be on our list.
So you've not used the word depression. You've used anxiety today. And is there a reason that you've not used the word depression in relationship to her sadness? Based on what you're reading here?
Based on what I read, I didn't use it. She could well be, of course, mm-hmm. But I didn't use it because she's so bubbly and vivacious and yeah. all that with her family. And that's why I kind of, you know, it says when at home with family and also when in the company of friends, she knows already she's bubbly, silly, confident, and loud. That doesn't seem like a depressed child. Again, right. I am asking them to see a doctor. I'm just a voice on a podcast, but that's why my brain went more toward something yeah. with sensory integration or anxiety because of that one sentence.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, that's why this is really Ask Dr. Gurian, right? Because you bring that kind of wealth of information to us. So parents, we hope this has been helpful. And mom, thank you so much for putting this question out there. You're not the only mom going through this.
No,
not the only parent going through this. And so we hope that some of this information may have been helpful for you and for all of you who are listening. We encourage you to go to wonderofparenting.com, wonderofparenting.com. You can submit a question to us there. There are all kinds of resources there for you. You can also go to our Facebook page, as we've mentioned, and you can put your questions there. And once in a while, as I did today, I grab one and we talk about it here on the podcast. And so, Michael, as always, thank you very, very much for your time today.
Thank you, Tim. And thanks, everyone, for these questions.
Yep. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back with you next time. The Wonder of Parenting podcast, a brain science approach to parenting.